So, I mentioned already earlier in the week about speech, about how important speech was. And there's a connection, of course, the simple connection between Baal Oscha and Shlach is that Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe, and those they didn't understand why he was separate to divorce his wife. Miriam said, you know, that she and Aaron were also prophets, and God also spoke to them. As they said, Vayomer rak ach b'moshe dibir Adonai, halo gam bono dibir v'ishma Adonai. So we understand one side of what Miriam did, the Deborah, the evil speech. And so Rashi right away comments, Lama nismicha parshas miragilim, parshas Miriam v'shel shalaksa, al iske dibra, she dibra b'achia v'rishayim, halo rov lakhu musar. The Rashi quotes the Tanchuma, and he says, why is there a connection here between Baal Oscha and Shlach? Because these Rishayim, these spies, scouts, saw what happened to Miriam, and they didn't learn a lesson, and so therefore, it's as if they were warned already that they should be careful what they're going to say. So that's one thing that Miriam did, but why did Miriam speak? We understand the what. But what the motivation for Miriam speaking against Moshe, or questioning Moshe, was she didn't realize the segula aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he wasn't even in the same category of other Nevi'im. Yeah, Aaron was a Navi also. He stood head and shoulders of all the rest of the Jewish people, but he was still recognizable. Moshe was not. Moshe was unique. Moshe was alone. Moshe had the quality of segula, that which is a treasure. Just like Yaakov loved all of his children, but Yosef and Yaakov had a segula relationship, different from all others. That's the same idea also that Rabbi Yoshe Ber mentions in Baal Oscha, but I'm mentioning it here, that the Jewish people didn't realize the segula aspect of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, Eretz Yisrael has rocks, and it has forests, and it has crops, and it has water and rain, like all other nations. Every other piece of geography, as it were. But that was the mistake of the Meraglim, that they looked at Eretz Yisrael as you would look at any other piece of land. And that was their chronic mistake. That they looked at Eretz Yisrael not as the Makom HaShechina, not as a place of the Divine Presence, as a segula, but they looked at it as every other land. Oh, okay, look, there are big guys who live there. They're in all sorts of things. Can you imagine in our time, if Chas Chalila, with the early Zionists, if we would have said, yeah, we'll take Uganda. Instead of Eretz Yisrael, we'll take Uganda. There wouldn't be the connection that we have to Eretz Yisrael today. What, are we going to walk to the Kotel in Uganda? We're going to make a brick wall and say, this is the Kotel? There's a certain unique segula to Eretz Yisrael. And this is what the Meraglim didn't see. And this is what Klal Yisrael didn't see. And this is why they had to wander in 38 years and lose a whole generation until we were able to be metakein that, until we were able to fix that. We haven't fixed it all yet. We have not yet fixed it, but we're on the way to fixing it. And you also see today also in college campuses with the BDS and the other movements that they also don't see, Jews among them. But when they say Kaddish for the terrorist murders in Gaza, rather than saying Kaddish for the children that have been rocketed and destroyed along the border with Gaza, then you already know we have a big, big problem. So Shlach teaches us the segula, the treasured nature of Eretz Yisrael, and how we have to look at Eretz Yisrael, not as just another piece of real estate, but as our conduit and our connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And this same idea happens with people. That people also could be a skula. People can also be a treasure and inspire others to do greater things. And that's why, again, as I mentioned, this morning's verse is dedicated to Ada Freda Bas Elio Dov. She was also a skula for our family and for also Klal Yisrael. Mir Neshama, have an aliyah.